We're working on the Rambam that on Shivas Batamas Chamishit Var Mirbo. So we did Nishtabro Luchos and Bitlatamit from the Yishalmi. We did Bitlatamit. Okay. So the next two are. Then you have Hufko Yerushalayim, B'chol Ben Sheini, and Sarf HaPastumus HaRosh HaSatara, V'Hemet Selim Ba'echol. Okay, so we'll go into that a little bit. So there's a Gemara, an interesting Gemara on Hemet Selim Ba'echol, in Tainus. We'll get back to it. Okay, so it's based on the Mishnah in Tainus. The Shtabra Luchos, the Mishnah says that the Beshivas Batamas, the Shtabra Luchos, Abatla Tamid, Vuvka, Yer Vesorf, Apostomas, as a Torah, Vehem Mitzel and Behechel. Okay, so the Gemara on Hemet Selim Behechel. So the Gemara says, Menolon. So it's a question of when that took place. Was that Menashe? That's what Rashi learns, or was it in Bias Sheni, the way the Rishalmi learns? But that's not really what we're concerned about. Okay, so so the Gemara says, Menolon Dechsiv. And Daniel, it says, Me'eis Husar Atomid, Veloseis Shikut Shome. So Rashi says, Me'esus ratamid, the be'es shehusav and his bottle atamid bos ayom nosan shikut shomim. That's the Yevodah Zohar. The haynu huma tzelam behechol. Okay, so what does it got to do with the be'es bottle atamid? So the Torah Tumei brings down the Chazal that the bittul atamid really, what was the bittul atamid? The bittul atamid was because the tamid itself stood for one thing, bittul Yevodah Zohar. It was Afkor of Avodas HaShemesh. And that's why in the morning they would shech the carbon by the Karen Tzvonis Maravis, because the sun rises in the east. And in the evening, Ben Abayim was the Karen Tzvonis Mizrachis, because the sun sets. So the whole purpose was there's a Sefer Torah Mitzvah. It says the whole purpose, based on the Chazal, the whole purpose of the Talmud was really to be Mafkiyah Avodas HaShemesh. That was really the whole essence and purpose of the Talmud. So the moment the Talmud served as a constant carbon to be Mafkiyah Avodas HaShemesh. So Me'eis Husar HaTalmud, so the moment the Talmud was in this bottle, so that day, Rashi says, Humu Tzelem Be'echol. So it means the moment we didn't deserve the Talmud anymore, because our ideas were not in line with the Talmud, so the Talmud became bottle, and then the Umamid at Selim Be'echel Avodah Zohar was instituted in Echel. Okay? So the Gemara says, that's the Pasuk, Me'eis Husar HaTalmud V'Laseitz Shikut Shomeim. Okay. Now the Gemara asks, you have to bear with me a little bit. V'chad hava, was it only one tzelem, or k'siv al knafs shikutzim mishomeim? It says two, knafs shikutzim mishomeim. So apparently there were two there, not one. So why do you say, hamid huma tzelem behechel? Amar rava tre hava. There really were two. V'nofal chad al chavrei, one fell on his friend, v'tavrele li yodei. And he broke his hand. V'ishtakach dehavaksiv. And it was found out that it was written, where was it written, we'll see. Ant tzavis l'charuvi beisa, you wanted to destroy the beis hamikdash, yada chashlimisle, so I cut your hand off for him. Okay? So it's a strange, very strange gemara. The two, the one Tzalem, I mean, sounds like one Tzalem's a tzaddik, because he's saying that you wanted to destroy the beis hamikdash, so I'm cutting off your hand. I mean, what is exactly what exactly is the Gemara mean? So Rashi says like this. Rashi says, "Ashkach tichsiv." When one tzalem fell on the other and broke off his hand, "Ashkach tichsiv alahu tzalem hasheni alahu tzalem hachi." That on that tzalem that broke the other, the active tzalem, they found that on him was written. Antzavas lacharuve beisei, the yodas yodcha ashlimisle. Hatzelam omer lachavero. Tzelam says to his friend, Ant ratzisa lachar beisei shal mokom, sheitisa yisrael lacharecha, fani yasisi bach nekoma. And I took revenge. The shilamti loch yodin, I cut off your hand. Okay? Lishnachrina, Antzavas lacharuve beisei. The yaduch ushlisli, you want to be macher of the bias, and your hand was lent to me. Lashon she'elas kelim, klomar for Allah biyadi, and I succeeded. Okay, so one shot is that it was a violent action. That the first one knocked off the hand of the second one, and he gave him musar because he says you wanted to destroy the bias, I'm destroying you. The second one was that you willfully gave me a hand. And since he willfully gave me a hand, so I succeeded because he willfully gave me a hand. I succeeded. Okay, yeah. So we'd like to understand like what this is about, what this means. Okay. So there's one clue here. The clue is hem itzelem behechel. He put the tzelem in the hechel. So there's a question we should ask. Why Gemara says that Titus wanted to be metamed a mikdash. So what did he do? So he was boil an isha in the kachek kadashim. Okay, that's to show his defiance. So if they wanted to show defiance, they should have put a tzelem in the kachek kadashim. Why did they put a tzelem in the hechel? Okay. That's one clue over here. Okay? Yeah. So the thing is, really, in the Hechel, what did you have in the Hechel? You had the menorah, and you had the shulchan, and you had the mizbeach, apnimi. So by the menorah, the pasuk says, el mul pnei hamenorah yirushivas haneros, that when you light the neros, they should be el mul pnei hamenorah. Why? To show that you're not spreading out the light, because God doesn't need the light. So that the light really is that we need His light, but He doesn't need the light. So that's why the windows were shkufim atumim, that were small on the inside and big on the outside, to demonstrate that idea. And therefore, God doesn't need the lechem upon him, and God doesn't need the ketores either. Okay, he doesn't need the ketores, so it's all for us. Okay, the Rambam says he doesn't know what the lechem upon him is, but what the lechem upon him stood for. But Shmuel ibn Tibbon, once somebody gave me a paper from Shmuel ibn Tibbon that he wanted to say that it was to demonstrate that the same lechem went in from Shabbos and went out the next Shabbos. There was no change. So to show the lechem was not for God. Okay? So, just like the menorah. Yeah. So, the thing is like this. That we know that what did they want to do when they put a tzelem in the hechel? That was our question. Why did they put the tzelem in kachek kedoshim? Right? So they put the tzelem in the hechel because They saw the Heichal has the menorah, the Heichal has the shulchan with the lechem upon him, and the Heichal has the ketores. So they said, look, this is all very nice, but who's it for? So there must be some representation of whom it's for. So the Tselem was supposed to do that job. The Tselem was supposed to be the representation that all this is done for God. Okay, but the Tselem was a representation of God. So according to the first Pshat in Rashi, that what did the Tselem said to Eschava, At ratzisa l'achrav beis hashem mokom, sheitisa Yisrael acharecha, v'ani yosisi boch nekoma v'shilam t'loch yadi. So, and the Lishna Achrina is, Ansavas Lachruva Beso, Vyotcha Ushlis Li, Home of Ola Biyadi. So, according to the first Pshat, you see, this really reflects, these statements reflect the way Klal Yisrael understood it. The ideas of the people. Okay. So. According to the first pshat, which is also. Taisa is also. Ashkechei Olah Al Tzolom Hashalom Ant, the one that broke the other one's hand. Ant Tzavi Lechruvi Beise Kloma Atarat Tzislachrav Beise Shal Makom Beise Shal Akadosh Baruch Hu. Yotcha Shlimis Lelekach Shalamti Yotcha Lakadosh Baruch Hu Shechatachtia. Okay, so what it means is like this. That the Tselem reflects the ideas of the Jews. So what the first Tselem said to the second Tselem was that if we both exist, so then you're really removing Klal Yisrael from a Kadosh Baruch Hu completely, because what you're setting up is sub deities. You see, so therefore, you agreeing to be with me together is the total destruction. Why? Because then you're promoting the belief in sub deities. Okay, so he says. So he destroyed the Tselem in order that only one Tselem should remain, and this Tselem. Is like a vodazar of Dor Enosh, that they have a tzelem, but it really reflects God. So this, according to this pshat, it means that Klal Yisrael wasn't really going to go for complete avodazar, like sub deities. Okay, but it was on the level of a vodazar of Dor Enosh when the tzelem was put in. What?
Not as far.
That's right. Not as far. So that's why it says, was it one or was many? So the Gemara says, no, originally it was many. But then it became one. Why? Because many was too much. That far into Avodah Zarah, Klal Yisrael would not steep. So they would never accept two sub deities. So therefore, because of that, the other Tselem represented the idea that it's Avodah Zarah like Dor Enosh, that there's one God, and this is simply a representation of Him. But the only thing is that they needed the representation. But what was okay? Now the second pshat says like this. The second pshat says, "Lishnachrina ant tzavis lachruvi beisa, v'yotcha ushlesli." Lashon she'ila, she'ilas kelim, klomar, v'ola biyadi, v'ola biyadi, that you gave me your hand, and now it's ola biyadi. What does it mean it's ola biyadi? Now I'm successful. And according to that pshat, it's worse. Why? Because if it were two, so then it's sub-deities, so then it's not, then it's complete avodah zarah. But if it's one, so then you're saying la'oro tzarah. You're saying that God has physical properties, that he enjoys the or, he enjoys the lechem, he enjoys the k'taris. So that's even worse. So that's according to the second pshat, he said v'ola biyadi. It wasn't that the first one was represented a lesser form of avodah zarah. On the contrary, the first one said this is worse. It's worse. It's better to have sub-deities and a complete distortion. But at least you're not distorting God himself. But over here, you're distorting the Borei Olam and you're implying Hakshamas HaBorei, physical attributes to God. So that's the two deis. Which way is worse? Which way is worse? In one way, you're invoking sub-deities, and that's avodah zarah. But this way, you are making a reference to God himself. And like, for instance, the Egyptians, they believed in sub-deities. But they believed in one God, and the one God they had a pretty high idea of. So that's the machlekes. The machlekes is, what was the level of Klal Yisrael? What was their level? Was the level that they denied the Hakshamas HaBorei, the God's physical, or was the level simply that they denied multi-gods, sub-deities? But Hakshamas HaBorei, they didn't really deny. Yes?
If you go by the pshat of Hakshamas HaBorei, nothing to do with sub-deities. So what's the pshat? Like, he chopped off his arm? Right. So what's the pshat? Like, why did he chop off his arm? Oh, he said you want to get the Jews to believe in sub-deities. No, it's really Doreinosh. And the other pshat is saying, no, that's worse. That's not really Doreinosh. The other pshat is saying that no.
That one is worse because one is the denial of Hakshamas HaBorei. So in other words, according to the first one, the first one you can say is Doreinosh. So it was Doreinosh, so it wasn't such a terrible thing. But the second one is saying that in that Doreinosh representation, it was worse. Because there you're saying you even got physical attributes. You follow?
Doreinosh do that?
No. They're interested in
the Doreinosh.
In the Heichel, I'm the Bar Netzar. That's correct. That's correct. So, but that's why it was, but, yeah.
What's the Pshat? How's the saying? Like, cut off his hand, like, what? How comes that
Pshat?
What's the Pshat?
According to the second Pshat. According to the second Pshat, it means he cut off his hand. It means he says, you didn't cut off his hand. He says, you gave me your hand willingly. So, you gave me your hand willingly means that, and I succeeded. And ola biyadi, and I succeeded. I succeeded in getting them to believe in Hakshamas HaBorei. That's the second one. That's the second one. All right, just 1 second. Just give me 1 second.
Was
there a correct?
But according to the third, so the reason what happened.
Because the everybody agreed that the hand was broken off.
Right. According to the first shot, it's saying that it was a good thing that he didn't accept the sub-deity.
Let me try to elaborate on that.
Okay,
according to the first shot, the one Pesel Tzelem knocked off the other one's arm. And he said that you would have destroyed, you wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael because you wanted to get them to believe in sub-deities. So he really went to a concept of Dor Enosh. So he was removing the Avodah Zarah. But why in the Heichal? See, why in the Heichal? That's the question. Why in the Heichal according to the first shot? Because, see, they both were in the Heichal. Because the Dor Enosh believed that you should serve that God wants you to serve his Mesharsim. So that's why in the Heichal, the Tzelem represented the Mesharsim. Represented God, but represented serving God through the Mesharsim. Okay? Because because the service was to benefit something. So they believed in one God, but God wants you to serve as Mesharsim. So the Heichal is the place of service, where you have light, and you have the Lechem Panim, and you have the Ketores. You see? So according to the first Pshat and Rashi, that was really a representation of Avodah Zarah of Dor Enosh. But according to the second Pshat, he didn't cut off his arm. He said, you gave me your arm. And you gave me your arm because you made it even better, and I was victorious. So how was I victorious? He was victorious because he got the people to, the Tzelem represented God, and he got people to believe that God himself is enjoying it. See? Because according to the first shot, it was a removal of Dor Enosh, and it was a belief system where God wants you to serve the Mesharsim. So it represented God, but it represented service. Okay? According to the second shot, it was worse, because he said it wasn't that he broke his arm. He says, you gave me your arm, and now there's only one representation. That one representation is worse because that represents God, and that means that God is enjoying the benefit of the Heichal. Okay? So that was the question. The question was, what type of Avodah Zarah? What type of Avodah Zarah prevailed among the Jews? Was it the Avodah Zarah of Dor Enosh, or was it the Hakshama Sabari? That's the Machlokes in two Pshatim. Okay. It's interesting. Taisvis has, so it means Miyom Shabbat LaTamid, even though the Tamid was Batla and Avodah Zarah, they went into Avodah Zarah, but they didn't just go into Avodah Zarah. It was different levels. Okay. Taisvis says like this, Vishtakach Techsivi Luya. So he learns not that it was written on the idol, on the Tzelem. But he says, Al Oso Yad, Pirish, Motso Kosuv Al Hayad Shenechtecha Men Tzelem. That if it was found written on the hand that was cut off from the Tzelem, Ant Tzavi Lachruvi Beisei, Klomar, Beiso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vashlamisle, Klomar, Vichotach, Vashlamisle, Klomar, that you gave God your strength. Okay? So what does it mean you gave God your strength? This is a little tough one to explain. That on the hand that was cut off was written that you gave God your strength. You gave God your hand. Well, then the first one knocked off the other one. And when he knocked his arm off, where the arm broke off was written that he gave God his strength. So I think the pshat over here is like this, that Klal Yisrael really is an ummah that is resilient. So a lot of times when you pressure them, so they react just the opposite. So what it means over here is like this, that according to that pshat, because they put these tzlamim in the hechel, so that's why, on the contrary, the hand was cut off. It gave strength to Klal Yisrael. They rejected it because it was too abominable. In other words, the fact that they saw the tzlamim in the hechel, it had a reverse effect on them because it was such an abomination, so intolerable, that's why they had to... They brought them further away from Avodah Zarah. They rejected it. Okay, so that's why it says your hand was cut off, and you gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu your strength. That because you wanted to destroy and you went too far and it was too obvious and too detestable. So the Klal Yisrael rebelled backwards, and they couldn't tolerate it. So that's Tesis Pshat. So there's three Pshat in here. It's interesting because the thing, what made the whole battle of Beitar? The battle of Beitar, of course, first when Hadrian came in, he wasn't so terrible. He was very nice to different religions. He was very nice. But then he decided to take Yerushalayim and to make a pagan city out of it to Jupiter. That's when the rebellion started. So when Klal Yisrael couldn't tolerate it. So sometimes the Hamoras HaTzatzelem works against the ones that are doing it. That's what Tesis is saying. That's what Tesis is saying. So there's three pshat. Okay. What? That's a form of tshuva. I mean, yeah, like you see in Beitar. I mean, they were so... They were so against it that Bar Kokhba started his rebellion, and in the beginning he was very successful. He wiped out legion after legion. So, because they fought with such a fervor, they fought with such intensity, that they were successful. Yeah, we'll get to that. There was Estepan there. There was Estepan there anyway. His natural strength. Yeah. That's what Bar Kokhba said. Okay. All right. So the five things in Shiva Subatama is mentioned in a piyut on the is a special piyut on Shiva Subatama. Interesting. It's an interesting piyut. The very first piyut on the very first slichus on Shiva Subatamas. So the slichus starts like this. In this door, if you want, you can take a look at it. Asanu lecha yotzer ruchos. I think the piyut in the end puts together the five things that happened on Shiva Subatamas. He says like this: Asanu lecha yotzer ruchos. We come before you, Yotzer Ruchos. What is Yotzer Ruchos? Yotzer Ruchos, what does it mean, Yotzer Ruchos? It means the Elokeia Ruchos L'chol Basar, so the Tirgum Yerushalmi, Tirgum Yonason says that it means the Neshama, the Nishmas Adam. So, Asonu L'chol Yotzer Ruchos. We come before you, the one who created the Neshama of man. Okay? And Barov Avoneinu Kovdu Anochos, because of our many sins, so our pain and suffering was increased. So what does it mean? So what does it mean, Yotzer Ruchos? It means that the chait was we failed to recognize the greatness of the Tzelem Elokim. We failed to recognize the Neshama. Like the Rambam says, Kol Sheino Chasol Kono, what does it mean? It means he doesn't recognize the unbelievable uniqueness of the human mind and how it can penetrate Chachmas Hashem. So asanu l'cha yotzer ruchos means that we come before you in recognition of the fact that you're the yotzer ruchos, and we should have recognized through the fact that you're the yotzer ruchos and through the fact that man somehow has the ability to perceive chachmas Hashem, which is unintelligible, that you're the source of this, and we should have had a karas hatov and a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch. So that's the first part. Gizeros asmu v'rabu tzrichos. Ki b'shivos ar b'tamuz mishtabru aluchos. So that we explained last year. Mishtabru aluchos means that the luchos rishonos were really ma'aseh l'kim, was from nature. So those luchos really meant, those luchos represented serving God naturally from the Bria, which was really really what man should have been able to do. But he couldn't do it, so the Migdash, God had to be Mitzamtzem Shekhinah on the Migdash to create the vehicle through which man can attain, ultimately, can attain it. But he has to go through stages, he has to go through Torah to attain it. That's why the Shivrei Luchos and Menachem Baram, because they're still there. They're broken, but they're still there. Because that ability to perceive Chachmas Hashem from Maisa Bereishis is still available to man, but it's broken. So now you have to go through the Migdash and through the vehicle of the Migdash and Torah in order to arrive at that, in order to arrive at that level. So then he says, Golinu mibeis habechira, dinenu nechtam v'nigzera gzera, v'choshach ba'adenu ora, and light became dark to us. Ki b'shivas ha'batamas nisrafah Torah. So when Apostumus burnt the Torah, what did it show? It wasn't just that a crazy man burns the Torah. It showed that the Torah was devalued by the Goyim. Because once already the Jews lost the Migdash, so the vehicle of reaching Chachmas Hashem was gone. So the Torah was gone. So his burning of the Torah was simply in line with what was taking place in terms of the events. That the Migdash was the vehicle of Torah, and the vehicle in the armor of the Sefer Torah was Munach Baram. So the moment the Migdash was destroyed, it meant that that this vehicle can't exist because it serves no purpose anymore. So he burnt the Torah. He had the audacity to burn the Torah. It shows that as long as the Ummah Yisraelis was affected by the Torah, so the other nations sensed it, and they had a fear, and they wouldn't be able to be destructive towards it. But the moment the Ummah Yisraelis went down, and the vehicle of Torah became nothing for them, so then Apostumus didn't have anything preventing him from doing it himself. Because he looked at Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael was down, and the Migdash was destroyed, which reflected the fact that they don't deserve the Torah. So he burnt the Torah. They gave him the brazenness to burn the Torah. So that's the second thing. Then he says, Horsu oyveinu ha-heichol, u'barcha shchina mizov yis-heichol. He says that our enemies broke down the Hechel, Ubarach Hashchina mizav yishechel. Then imsanu bidei zedim
le'esako. It doesn't work.
What? It's not working?
No, they.
Okay. Then imsanu bidei zedim le'esako. Ki b'shiva asa b'tamas homot selam behechel. So now he mentions that that Shivas Batam is Homer Tzalam Behechel. Okay. So what is it? So it goes down in gradations. The first thing is Yedias Hashem from the Bria. That's the highest. Then the second thing is through the vehicle of Torah, which directs him to the Luchos. And then the third level down is Homer Tzalam Behechel, is the anthropomorphism of God. The anthropomorphism. Okay? The denial of Akshamas Habare. Okay? So Zerunu Meiro Ir, the Nilka Mimena Rav Vitsoyer, Chorva Misosenu Vesh Bohivir, Kivishivas of the Thomas Hufko Ir. Over here he's explaining what Hufko Ir is. See, because he says Chorva Misosenu, but that wasn't on Shivas of the Thomas. The Eish Bohivir, that's the Mikdash. Kibishivas of the Thomas Hufko Ir. It means like the Yashami says. The Yashami says that there were 21 days between the Shivas of Atamas and between Tisha B'Av. Why 21 days? Because the Pasuk says, can you shokate ala ra'lavo? And shokate is a certain type of a flowering plant that produces fruit in 21 days. So what does that mean? It means that the events that took place on Shivas of Atamas sealed the fate of Tisha B'Av. Sealed the fate of Tisha B'Av. It had to happen 21 days later. Okay? So that's what he's saying. That Hufko Ir was because of the Averis of Shivas of Tammuz, so the city was broken through, and because it was broken through was the Koveya of the Churban of Tisha B'Av. Okay? Then he says, Tofash Mikdoshenu Tsar Hamashmid. Tofash Mikdoshenu means he made foolishness out of our Mikdash. So what does that mean? So he says, the Intfila brings down, there's a medrash in Eicha Rabasi that says like this, in the Psichta. It says, B'sho shenichnu usonim l'Yerushalayim, when the enemies went into Yerushalayim, nichnasu amonim u'mo'avim imohem, nichnasu l'veis kotche ha'kadoshim. So they went into the kotche ha'kadoshim, u'motsu shom shnei kruvim. So they found the kruvim. Which kruvim is machlekes? But anyways, not l'osam, they took these kruvim, the nusnam b'kliva, and they put it in the show box. And they would brought it around, all around, displayed it all over Yerushalayim. Va'omrim, and they'd say, Lo ha'yisam omrim she'ein umazu avodas avodah zarah. Didn't they say that this nation doesn't serve avodah zarah? Ru, ma'amotzinu lahem, u'maho yo'ovdim. And take a look at what the at what we found in Kodesh Kodashim and what they really serve. So and the Medrash doesn't have it here, but the Medrash continues and says, and he said to them that there's no difference. You see, there's no difference between one Ummah and another Ummah. They're all the same. They're all Oved Avodah Zarah. So apparently, even the Oved Avodah Zarah recognizes in himself that he's driven to it. And the hatred for the Jew, like we mentioned before, is that the Jew is the only one that can overcome that force, that drive. So the hatred of the Goyim is based on that, because they can't overcome the drive and they sense that the Jew can. So this disturbs them. It's very disturbing. It disturbs their belief system, and it causes them to have difficulties with their own religious beliefs. So in order to remove that problem, the way they do it is in a primitive manner, is by saying others also. If everybody does it, if other people do it, so then there's a primitive belief system that means that that's correct. So that's why they were so excited and they took out the kruvin from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay? In order to show, see, they also serve Avodah Zarah. He says that's what the Python means. Tipesh b'mikdashenu tzar hamashmid. Shehiskil lachshav as a kruvim avodah zarah. Yeah. Right. So it means, of course, it's because it reflects our chait. It reflects our chait. So what is the chait of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? What's the chait of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The chait of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is that the kruvim, really, Bein Shnei HaKruvim, is really where the Shechina is showing the Bein Shnei HaKruvim. And the Rambam says, because the Shnei HaKruvim is really the second most important idea, that there's no Avodah Zarah, no other powers, that everything is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, and it's all Yichud Hashem, and that's why the kol was medaber mibein shnei akruvim. That's why the Shechina is shura mibein shnei akruvim. Shem Hashem. We did that, I believe, last year with the Aron Abris. Anikra Shem. Shem Yeshua Kruvim. Shem Yeshua Kruvim Alav. So the Kodesh Kodashim represents the advancement and the highest ideas of Yichud Hashem. So when the Goyim took the Kruvim and paraded it around as a Avodah Zarah, that shows that we failed completely in the ideas of the Kodesh Kodashim. That was our failure. We failed in Yichud Hashem. So it's interesting. The Heichal reflects one Kedusha. The Heichal reflects the Kedusha that of the Kedusha of the Mul Pneam Nor Yerushiva Saneros. That is a denial of Akshama Sabore. That's the Heichal. That's why it says, "Baruch Hashchina Mizav Yisechol." Hashchina had to run away because the Shechina couldn't tolerate it, because the whole kedusha of the Heichal is that there's no Akshamas Habore. So once there were immediate Selim BeHeichal, so then that contradicted that. So therefore, so the Shechina had to run away. So the kedusha Saheichal really is the kedusha of the recognition that God is not. Is not physical, and doesn't partake of physical activities. That's the kedusha Sahechel. The kedusha Kodesh Kodashim is a higher kedusha. It's the Yichud Hashem, which is the limud ha'adam at Ein Sof, where there's no end to that limud. So the Python shows that the whole Kedushas HaMikdash was destroyed. Because the base Kodesh HaKadoshim was defiled, and the Heichal as well. Okay? And that's why he ties it. He says that Ki B'Shivas HaBatamas Bat LaTamid. He ties Bit LaTamid he understands the Talmud to reflect everything, the service which reflects the Kedusha Sahechel and Kedusha Kodesh Kodashim, because it's the denial of Avodah Zarah, which, and then the Hechel is the next step, that is no Akshama Sabore, and then the next step is Yichud Hashem and the endless involvement in the Chachma of Yichud Hashem. So the Talmud is the act, the Maisa Karbon, which states the overall picture of what's going on in the Mikdash. It's the Maisa Mikdash. But the Mikdash, the Kedusha Mikdash, is the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodashim. Okay, that's the way the Python understands it. Then he goes on. He says that he brings out what was the tragedy of the Korban HaBayis wasn't just Bittul HaTamid, but he says, "Lios Olav Yom Kippur LaTevach, Ki B'Shivah Asa B'Tamas Batlu Olav Azavach." Because as long as the Mikdash was around, so the Avodas Hashem could take place through Olah, through bringing Shlamim, through bringing an Olah, which is Baal Hur Alev, to perfect man. And then he says, "Nepach Mechol Lakinos, Mechol Enu Lakinos, Ki B'Shivah Asa." That all kabanos were bat. So there were no kabanos musaf, no kabanos for yom tovim. So he just goes and expresses what the further destruction of the positive avoda was. But he says an interesting thing. He says, "Saranu lefanecha meriv lishonos." We were over averos. Meiriv Lashonos. Meiriv Lashonos means we spoke against you. Lachain lomda lashonenu lomar kinos. That's why we learned to say kinos, which is very similar to what we said, basically. That without the limit of kinos, so then you're going to be a chote meiriv lashonos, because you'll argue with God. You'll be angry at God, like the Rambam says in the Maran Avochim. A person can withhold his anger to a certain degree. And he goes through the different tragedies that befall man. He says, but personal suffering, person can't withhold. He has to curse because the pain is too great. So the Meriv Lashonos means that the person would have to say things against God, Meriv Lashonos. But Lachain Lomda Lashonenu Lomar Kinos. So that's why we're taught the idea of Kinos. Where in Kinos, the person expresses the tragedy, realizes that that tragedy, that ties into the Ashgacha, and even though he has a right to express it and is supposed to express it in his own terms, not deny what his mind and his senses, feelings tell him, but at the same time, he has to have that recognition of the Borei Olam and the Absolute. So you see, the Python is interesting. The Python has the same idea. That if you don't have Kinos, then you have Riv Lashonos. Okay. So basically, he ties it together. They tie them all? Five things? Batla Tamid, right? And Shiris Aluchos, the Sreifa Satara, and what? And Tzelam and Echel, what? And Ufkoyer. Well, Ufkoyer is because of those things. Because of those Averos, so the Koveya was that when it was broken, it was already predicted, predestined in 21 days. Because the Machlekes were when the Chorban was. But they both have 21 days, Mora says in the Yishama. Okay?
Rabbi, yeah. Rabbi, according to that, how what you were saying before, that it was just Hestapanim and things happened. It was an Ashkacha. How do you say that it was exactly 21 days? Wouldn't that indicate that it was very specifically planned? And probably intervention in the way of natural things?
It doesn't necessarily mean. It means everything was set up, like programmed. Everything that's programmed is not necessarily Ashkacha Pratyas. It means that that's the way it was. At the moment you had these Averis, it was already set into play, programmed that this is what's going to happen. Doesn't necessarily mean Ashgach. Clock is programmed also. Okay? All right, so that finishes what we started with there. But if you want to go a little further, we could do, I wanted to do the Agadata on Bar Kochba and Beitar. The Agadata on Beitar. Okay? So that's your Yishalmi. Do we have a Yishalmi?
Yeah, Yishalmi.
Which one?
Chair.
Oh, okay.
Let me clarify what you just said. What is it?
Yeah.
It's programmed before. Why is it that?
That doesn't mean Ashgacha. Clark is programmed as Ashgacha. It means that the way Clark Israel was, that all they had to do was do that, and then everything just fell into place.
But that everything would specifically happen on this particular day?
That's correct. Because Clark Israel without the Ashgacha, that's what happens. Yeah, by the way, somebody asked me a good question. They said, what about, why did they have to take the Kruvim out? Didn't they know there were Kruvim in the Mikdash? People definitely knew that. And it's in the Pesukim. So what was the Chiddush? But the thing was that the Kruvim in the, the Kruvim the way they were in the Mikdash would not really reflect Avodah Zarah so easily. Because it was on the Aron was on top of the Kaporis, and it was part of the Kaporis. You see, and the Kaporis services the Aron, and the Aron is the Luchas Abris. And then Sefer Torah. So if it was Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah should have been in the Aron. You see, so and it wasn't a separate thing. It wasn't like Avodah Zarah always stands separately. It wasn't a separate thing. It was just hammered out. It was hammered out from the sides of the kaparis. So if you looked at that, it wouldn't imply a vote on the contrary, if you analyze that. But if you take it off, break it off, if it was those kruvim, if it were those kruvim, because that's machlekes. So some say this, because Yoshio was gone as a kruvim. So they say it's machlekes. But some say it was Rashi's was the kruvim that were on the side of the curtain. That were, so they're also on the side of the curtain. They wouldn't have that impression. But when you take it off and separate it, take a look. You just have the isolated thing. Say this is what they serve. That has an effect. So that's why they did it that way. What? What was being destroyed? Yes, that's correct.
But it wasn't obvious how the distortion was
working? No, I mean the reason why the Onesh signified that. The Onesh signified that they didn't really... That they didn't live up to the objective of the crew.
But it was the crew that was part of it that didn't prevent them from associating with our ideas.
Right. Right. Here it is. Okay, I got it. What? 21 days. Yeah.
So
there's not much on the 21 days. I mean, that's all it says.
Are you saying that it was like that there was a pre-programmed thing that the laws of nature owe that it would take exactly 21 days?
Right.
Or that laws of nature owe that after this happened, it will definitely happen maybe in 15 days, maybe 30 days. But the 21 days.
In other words, the way the armies were, the way the enemies were, the respect that they lost for Klal Yisrael. So all those elements, all those factors came together to make a 21 day thing. There was no it means there was no bechira. It was just an automatic thing. All the elements came together because the hashgacha was removed. Okay.
It happened to be 21 days. The point 21 days. is that it's definitely going to happen.
Right. That's right. That's right. It was so definite that it was predictable to the day. If you knew all the factors. Okay. All right, so Rishami says, Nilkida Beta. Rebbe have a Darish. It's in Rishami. I don't know what kind of Rishami. Mine is Chavdalim Rav.
Tainus?
It's in Tainus in the Bishlosha Prabhupada. So the Gemara says that Bila Hashem Velo Chamal. So Rebbe would darshan on Bila Hashem v'lo Chamal. He would darshan. He would speak of 24 things. 24 things that shows Bila Hashem v'lo Chamal. 24 tragic events. Okay. For Rabbi Yochanan darsh Hashitin. Rabbi Yochanan darshan 60 tragic events. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan yasser al Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan can darshan more than Rebbe. He was able to darshan 60 events. That show Bila Hashem v'lo Chamal. And Rebbe Darshan 24. So, well, first of all, you see that it's a mitzvah to Darshan every expression of it, of the Hestaponim, every expression of the Hestaponim. So, the Gemara says, why was Rabbi Yochanan more than Rebbe? He says, because Rebbe, Agadei, the Rebbe, however, Samach Lechorban, based on Migdasha, Rebbe was close to the Chorban Abayas, Havatamon Savin Nihirin, Vahavat Dorish. There were old people that remembered. Vahavat Dorish, when he darshan, Vinan Bochin. And they would cry, Umishtaskin Vakaiman Lon. So then he would stop there. He'd stop there. Because they remembered the Chorban, and since they remembered it, so they had the feelings for it, so they would cry so much that he had to stop. Okay? All right, so the question is, I mean, why did he stop? On the contrary. Bachos Sifke Balala.
Why did he stop?
He always prayed the same part.
What?
He always prayed after the same number.
Mean 24? I don't know if that was every year or if that was one time or whatever. But it's around there. I guess the emotions are pretty much the people they remember. Never got past 24. So the thing is, I think the pshat is like this, that you see, in Eicha, for instance, or even in the Kinos, I mean, it tells you about the tragedies, but it does depict some tragedies terribly, but it doesn't, you feel there's something that it's aiming at. It's not, it's kedayu yom achas bashana le'sanos al churban beis halakeno. It really is the Churban HaBayis. It's the Churban HaBayis. And the tragedy shows the Richuk Hashem, the extent of the Hester upon him. And that is really what the Kinos are about. So what happens is, if the people remember the tragedy and they're too tied to the emotional aspect of it, they have to be tied to it, I mean, but if they're too tied to the emotional aspect of it, so they lose sight of why we're doing this. Because we're doing it because of the Churban HaBayis. Because the tragedy of the Richuk Hashem, the Hestaponim of Hashem. So the people that actually lived through this, they couldn't do it after a certain point. So Rebbe stopped. But Rabbi Yochanan was able to do it. Okay. Yeah, Tony, Amar Abuda Barbeloi, Baruch Rebbe, Hayadorish. His Rebbe dashed like this: Hakol Kol Yaakov Ayadaim De Esav, Kolo Shel Yaakov Tzavach Mimasha Asulo Yde Esav Beveta. That the voice of Yaakov Avinu cried out. Rashi says when he saw Medivor, when he saw what the Yde Esav will do to the Jews in Beitar. Because Beitar was really, Beitar was a Holocaust. Beitar was a genuine horror. And even after Beitar, that's when they had the Harugi Malchus. But what does it mean? I mean, like the Gemara says, that they used the bodies, they especially didn't bury the bodies to torture the Jews, to see the bodies aren't buried, and they used them as fertilizer for the Krumen. Was in the worst, real, most ruthless, horrific way. So the Kol Yaakov is Savach on what happened in Beitar. So what does it mean? It means that sometimes the horror is so great that the person can't collect any thoughts and all he can do is scream. And that's what it means. Yaakov Avinu, when he saw Beitar, he screamed. He couldn't put together any ideas. He couldn't do anything. It was just the horror, just as a scream. I mean, that's the concentration camps. That's the same thing. I mean, it's the exact same thing. That means that sometimes there's no reaction. The only reaction is Savach. There's a natural scream about it, and you can't. It's too horrible for a person to say anything about it. He's just hit by a cry. That's what Chazal said. Yeah. Tani Reb Shimon Yochai. Akiva Rebbe Hayadorish. Dorach Kochav Miyakov. Dorach Kuzbo Miyakov. It really should be Kuzbo with a samach, because originally his name was Kuzbo, but later they changed it to a Zion because when he failed. So they said it was a lie. Yeah. Rabbi Akiva, kar havachome bar kuzba, havoma dein hu malcha mashiach. He says, this is the malcha mashiach. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan ben Tursa, Akiva, yalu asovim belachayayach, vadayim ben David lo yavo. That grass will grow out of your jaw, out of your chin, and mashiach will not come yet. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. What was the machlokes here? I mean, It's true that Bar Kochva was very impressive, and he was destroying legion after legion. The Romans kept sending legions, every legion he destroyed. Until finally, Hadrian recognized that he has to assign the best general possible to this battle. So he took a general service from England, I think it was. And he was afraid to encounter Bar Kochva in hand-to-hand battle, combat. Bar Kochva wanted that, but was afraid to do it. So he stopped the lines of food and starved them out. He used really cowardly means, but he was afraid to encounter him directly. So I mean, he was not just a flash in the pan. I mean, he was an unbelievable, and he rallied the troops, and he had the greatest generals under him, and he was really extremely successful. When the Romans sent out, every time Hadrian sent out another legion, there was no one left. But the only thing is that the Jews, in contradistinction to the Romans, they wouldn't torture or kill the captives. Okay, but anyways, so Rabbi Akiva believed that it was Mashiach, because it was after the Churban HaBayis, and it was 65, 70 years after the Churban HaBayis. So he thought that that the bias can come back. We can get the bias back. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Tursa disagreed. Why did he disagree? What was the machlokes? It's hard to put together. And Bar Kochva also implemented halacha. So what was the? I think maybe we have to go a little further. Maybe we can understand. Maybe we have an insight into it. He must have been. He must have known how to learn.
Do you need a navi?
Was he a Navi? That's a good question. I mean, because Rambam says Navi Gadol Yehiyeh. I mean, that's good. I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe it means he will become a Navi. Maybe he has to be. He wasn't yet a Navi. But
maybe that's not a... Rambam says a lot of those things he said are the way it seems to be. The absolute criteria that we know for sure.
That what?
If Rabbi Akiva was confronted with somebody that seemed to have the indication that he was being killed by virtue of success in war, he was a chacham, and he wasn't a nutty, would that convince him he couldn't be the Mashiach?
No, I don't think so.
Right, so.
So the Gemara goes into a little bit about Ben Kazuva. First tells you how many they slaughtered in Beta. I don't know why it brings that in. But Shimon and Melafribo.
How many?
80 times 10,000. 800,000. I think it's starting to say about that amount. But anyways, Amar Bechon and Shimon. What? Yeah. Amar Biyachon and Shmona Melef Zug brutally killed. Shel Toke Krono say Makif Mes Beta. V'cholechot v'chol hoye Mamun al Kama Chayolos. V'hoye Shem Ben Kuzba. V'hoye Lo Masayim Elef. He had 200,000. They had how many? They had 80,000 Toke Kronos that they were surrounding Beta with. And he had 200,000 Matife Yetzpa. Matifei Yetzpa means that he had them chop off their finger.
Bite off.
The Medrash says bite off the finger, yeah. Yeah, right. I assume it's this finger.
Yeah.
So, to show how courageous they were. Sholchu Chachamim, Chachamim sent for Amrlo, and they said to him, Amrlo, Adima Sayata Oses Yisrael Bali Mumin. Amalahen, so he said to them, L'chiheya chefshel abotkan, how could I test them? Amulo, kol mishein erochev al suso v'oker erez min levanon, anyone that can't ride on a horse and pull out a sapling from the levanon, lo ye nichtav be'isratya shaloch, will not be written down in your special notebook. So what's the, and apparently listen to them. Apparently listen to them, because it says, Hoylo Masayim Elef Kach, or Masayim Elef Kach. Alright. So, what was the machlegis between the Chachamim and the Vakachol? Vakachol, the Chor was right. He wanted to test his courage, let him chop his finger off, bite his finger off. Bite is even hotter. So, yeah. So the thing is like this. I think what they were saying to him was like, Admosai Atosai Balamumin from Yisrael. It means that an army has to have a prestige. If you have an army that they're all Bali Mumin, it loses its aura. So they said that's not a good way to test them. Because in the end, you have a maimed army. Maimed army doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound formidable. Even though it's only the finger, but it's a bad, a very, very bad, taint on the army. So they said the other way. They said you should have him ride on a horse to the Levanon and pull out a sapling and accomplish a feat of strength and be written in your book. So it means that heroism, courage, is caused by the fact that a person is motivated, the motivation. They want the respect. So they have to have the strength and the physical prowess, but then now that they have it, what motivates them is the recognition. They'll have special recognition, so that motivates a person to be brave. The recognition. So they said the other way, you can prove that he's brave by harming himself. He's not afraid of harming himself, but this way is another way, and this way you don't have the stigma. Stigma for the army, that the army is an army that has a Bali Mumin, that is something where they're tainted. Yeah. This is, what point? Doesn't say. I mean, apparently it was in, it would appear that in the beginning. Appear in the beginning, because that's when he was setting up his troops.
He was too concerned about the Chaval.
No, that's right. Yeah, they weren't concerned about the Chavala because apparently they Ichol Batsmo Inala Bichol Batsmo, but apparently for battle, apparently you're allowed to because it's Sakanas and Fashas. So they weren't concerned. You guys, right, very good point. There was a Chum weren't concerned about that. They just said Ad Moshe Atos Yisrael Balei Mumin. Yeah, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Handicapped people in the army. An army of amputees. It doesn't sound good. Okay. Then the Gemara says. The famous statement. V'chad dahava nafak l'krova. And here you really have your kasha. When Bar Kochba went out to battle. When he went out to battle, Hava Alma, he would say, Ribbono de Alma, Ribbono Shel Olam, Lo Sisod, don't help me, don't help us, but Lo Sichsof, and don't harm us. Okay? That's the famous battle cry of Bar Kochba. So, everybody says that he was a Rasha. I mean, Gretz says that he was blasphemy. But it's very interesting because he quotes a pasuk. He says, "Halo ato lekim zanachtanu v'lo seitzei b'tzivoseinu." So he quotes a pasuk. So it's not just Stam that he wanted to show that he could win without Ashgacha. But he quoted a pasuk, "Allah Ta'ala Hashem Zanachtano V'Laseisei V'Tzivaseinu." So apparently, what does it mean, "Ata Hashem Zanachtano"? He felt after the Churban HaBayis that there's hest upon him, and that's God's will. Nothing changed. There was no big tshuva. There's no nothing changed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoned us and wanted us to be in a state of removal from him. See, "V'Laseisei V'Tzivaseinu." You're not going to go out in our battles. So why am I battling? What's the purpose? So the answer is that there still could be. What you're saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to do anything to undo the fact that that his will is that the Jews should be removed. But the strength of the army, a natural force, which can also be tied to Chachmas HaTorah, which is a natural thing that the Jews have. So therefore, it can be a Kiddush Hashem without a Kadosh Baruch Hu abandoning his position. So he's saying, you don't have to do Nisim. If you don't want to do Nisim, you don't have to do Nisim for us to show that you're with us. Because if your will is an Achtanu, so then you can maintain that. If that's the case, then why am I going to battle? Because I'm going to battle because we could win by strength alone, and it's also a covet for Klal Yisrael. It's a covet for Klal Yisrael. So, and then we could rebuild the Middash. So that was his plan. You understand, Rabbi Kiva wouldn't think he's Mashiach if he's not Begaris. He refuses to. Right? Now you can see the Machlokes and Rabbi Kiva in between, and that's correct. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Tursa. Yeah.
But his small nation, Israel, going against the Roman legions without a shaka, it's almost impossible.
No, it seems that it wasn't. It seems that they had a plan also. There was another group that was supposed to join them, and they were supposed to cut off the whole eastern arm of the Roman Empire. And they said it was very feasible. It wasn't impossible. It wasn't a crazy thing. I mean, it's unfortunate that the no one really wrote up too much about him. Like that, you know, there's no account of what a great general he was, but he really was. So it's just too bad there was no good historian there to write him up. But he everything was planned. But the Romans, they had to bring in the biggest general in the world that they had, and he didn't even fight him head on. I mean, he starved him out. So it was. It was different tactics, but that was his tefillah. That was actually his tefillah. His tefillah was that if it's God's will that we should be zanuach, so then it doesn't mean that we can't fight and we can't win. And as I mentioned before, what really got Klal Yisrael to fight in Beitar was the fact that Hadrian wanted to build a city in Yerushalayim to Jupiter, a pagan city. So there was really the motivation. The Jews couldn't tolerate that. So the motivation was a motivation L'Shem Shemayim.
So how are you
interpreting
what he said? Don't help us and don't.
In other words, he said, he quoted the pasuk, that you're master, you're upon him from us, and when there's hest upon him, you won't go out to fight for us in our armies. So he said, okay, don't. If that's the case, don't help us, but don't go against us.
Isn't that just hest upon him? What do you mean, don't go against us?
Don't go against. I mean, in other words, you have to understand something. We're going to go back to that every minute. But it doesn't mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can't do something. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to kill Paro, so he can kill Paro. I mean, he doesn't just turn his face. I mean, there's certain points that where it's necessary for Klal Yisrael, so a Kadosh Baruch Hu does act. So if the hest upon him is necessary for Klal Yisrael and he removes it, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act in a way that won't be removed. Okay? So that's what he said. He said, don't cause... Right. what I'm doing shouldn't be against the Hester Panim. It shouldn't be against the Hester Panim. Now Rabbi Akiva apparently held that there's no tie to the Sasri. It could be Hester Panim, and the Melech HaMashiach can come, and it could be Marzer the Mikdash, even though it's Hester Panim. But Rev, always forget.
Without you being proactive.
And Rabbi Yochanan, he held no. That's why he held that it's not going to come for a while, because he held the Hester Panim in the case that the Mashiach is not coming. Has to be a change. I guess the was Benitzula, like we said this morning. I mean, it was. Wasn't just temporary. The way the Midrash was destroyed wasn't just an indication of an event that has to do with the variations. It was really a statement.
How are they so sure that Bar Kokhba's success had no Ashkenazi?
How are they so sure?
Maybe the people didn't do tshuva also.
What do you mean? People in the Chuva, the Midrash is still showing. The Romans are still in charge. Hadrian is building a city in Yerushalayim to Jupiter. I mean, they estimated with their own intelligence that the Estepanim is continuing.
Well, the Romans say the Romans is Mashiach won't come until it's Chuva. So if they take that.
That's true also. As I mentioned before, there was no Chuva.
So it seems that, you know. It seems that Bar Kokhba was sort of taking a proactive role in terms of bringing all this about.
That's correct.
Whereas the other position is that, you know, that's not how it goes. I mean, it's...
That's correct.
You do tshuva, and then it's more providential.
Well, it doesn't say when they do tshuva. I mean, Bar Kokhba might have been bringing them to the tshuva.
He's bringing them to the tshuva.
Could be.
So if
there'll
be a Kiva, couldn't hold that he was Mashiach.
What? If there'll be some Kiva, there'll be a Kiva, wouldn't hold. Oh, he's Mashiach. That's right. I mean, these things, the Rambam says all these things, no one knows exactly the order of how it's going to happen until it happens. So Tshuva will definitely be there, but you don't know, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to go to Shul one day and then they do Tshuva, and that's it. Chazal and the Navi have a very interesting approach. They don't just make it the fact that if you serve Hashem, everything's good, and as soon as you do chatayim, everything's bad. Because we had last year with the incident with Nebuchadnezzar and Tzidkiyo. And Yirmiyahu told Tzidkiyo, he says that the city does not have to get burned down. Just give it to the Kazdim. And it won't be burned down. And if you would have done that, there wouldn't have been any Churban Bayis. And if it wouldn't have enraged, Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't have done it. See, Nebuchadnezzar was very nice later to Yirmiyahu, Hanavi. So there are events here. It's not so simple that just the chotem. Yeah, of course we had a chotem, but not so simple. The chotem, you get punished. I mean, there were a lot of events. Chazal and the Navi look at it in terms of the factual events and the antecedents that were responsible for it. Not just simplicity, you know, that you didn't have error, so the Midrash was destroyed. Not so simple. I'll counsel by counsel Chayav Yerushalayim. So Chazal looked for natural causes, and there were natural events there too. Of course, if you wouldn't have sinned, those natural events wouldn't have occurred, but the natural events were responsible. And if the natural events were different, if Tzidkiyo weren't such a person, because the Pasuk says about Tzidkiyo, and Navi says that he couldn't, forget the Lashon HaPasuk, that he couldn't give in to Yirmiyahu, and the Gamba Melech Nebuchadnezzar Marat. So he couldn't submit to Yirmiyahu, so he had a problem with submitting to authority. So why did he do that to Nebuchadnezzar? Because he wanted to disgrace him. It was a foolish thing to do, but he had to take a poke at the big figure. So you see that all these things are complex. They're not simple. They're complex. So when they do tshuva, it doesn't just mean that everybody's going to go into shul and Mashiach's going to come down the street. But it unravels in a complex way because you're dealing with human beings in multifarious emotions and conditions. Okay. So that's what it was about. Then the Gemara is like this. Yes.
So Rabbi Yochanan had like Mashiach wasn't coming for like many, many years.
Right.
So is the Iker, the Ram, like Iker of the Mashiach, the Machaka, that he's going to come every day? Does that mean?
B'chol Yom Shiyavo.
What does that mean?
On any day that he will come.
not for many, many years?
A person has a right to say it's now's not time for Mashiach, apparently.
It's not apparently.
I mean, that's you don't have to lose your mind. You can believe Mashiach and not lose your mind. Doesn't mean every day.
I mean, okay. There's no predestined amount of time that the Golus has to be.
That's right. Afapishis mameya in kol zeachagala. I mean, that's the, you have no right to say because it's such a long time he's not going to come. But it doesn't mean apparently that every day. You get up in the morning and you say he's coming today.
But you can say he's not
going to
be coming for many, many years.
Apparently, you see from the Yishalmi that he can say.
Right.
See from the Yishalmi, he can say.
Because the antecedents were
in what?
He didn't say the antecedents.
Right. That's correct. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So Sholosh Shonim v'machza Asad v'yainis makef al beta. 3.5 years he surrounded beta. It wasn't actually him; it was his general, best general. Rabbi Lozam Odoi Yosef al asak v'alo efer u'mespal b'chol yom v'omer ribon olam malteshiv b'dinayom malteshiv b'dinayom. It's an interesting thing. He also asked for fast upon him. Al Teshev Bedin. He didn't want any din. An interesting thing.
Apparently he didn't maintain
it
would come out too well.
Yeah. That was his tefillah, Al Teshev Bedin. Interesting tefillah, Chazal, right?
Whose tefillah was that?
Rav Elazar Modoi. He was the uncle of Bar Kocho. So it says, "Boy Adrianus Mazele." So Adrianus wanted to go and meet with him. It's not clear. The Yishalmi is very hard to figure out. Would meet with him or meet with Bar Kochba? So apparently Hadrian was getting tired of the battle, and they wanted to meet and make some kind of a peace arrangement. So, I mean, it shows you the effect, the power of Bar Kocha. So, Omar Lechad Kusoi. So one Kusi said to Hadrian, Lo Seizo Loch, don't go yourself. Da no chami mami avid umashlam loch medinta. I'll show you I'll take a look at what's happening and I'll get the whole Medina. You want to go make peace. So you're gonna get together, you're gonna negotiate. I'll do it in a way that I'll get you the whole country. Okay, so what did he do? All lay min bibo de medinsa. So he went in from the side of the Medina. All v'ashkech rebeloz amadoi. So he went and he found rebeloz amadoi koam matzli. He found him davening in Mispal. Apparently, he's Mispal a large part of the day. Ovad nafshe lochishle bego iudne. So he may believe he's whispering in his ear. Okay. Chamune b'nei medinto. So the people of Medina saw him. Vaisune gabe ben kuzba. So in other words, like apparently he whispered in his ear and then he put his here down, so it looked like he was talking to him and he was talking back to him. So they brought him in front of Bar Kochba. They said, what's going on? What were you talking about?
So, yeah. Avad Nafshe, yeah, just saying. Amrun Lay. So, Amrun Lay, they said to Bar Kochba, Chaminon Hahein Saba, we saw this old man, Mishtoy Lachavivach, that's talking to your uncle. Amalei, Ma Amrun Lay, what did he say? Ma Amalach. And what did he say? What did you say to him? What did he say to you? Amalei, Ana Amalach. No, Amalach Malka Katali. If I tell you, so my king will kill me. The low Amrit, I know Amalach at Katliyasi. So then you'll kill me because you want to know what he said. Tavli Malka Katliyasi, below at. I'd rather the king should kill me. When those days was be killed by a malchus. Was more honorable than
more dignified.
Amalei, Emily. Right. Tavli Malka Kotli Yasiv Loat. Amalei Danona Mashlam Midintoy. So he said, what did he tell me? He told me that he's willing to give up the Medina. That Rabbi Elazar Modoy is working together with others to surrender. They want to surrender the Medina. That's what he told him. So also got Rabbi Elazar Modoy. So he came to Rabbi Elazar Modoy. Amalei ma amalach hadein kusaya. What did this kusi tell you? Amalei loklum, didn't tell me anything. Ma amalei, what did you tell him? Amalei loklum, nothing. Yohiv le chad boat v'katle. So he took his foot, he kicked him, and he killed him. He died. So, yeah, the story is a really unfortunate story, because why did he kill him? Why did he kill him? Because he thought he couldn't, because the circumstances looked like he was lying. So it looked like it's Marib Malchus. So Marib Malchus allowed to kill him. Even though it was his uncle, I mean, he was very tough for a general. Miyad yatsa basko v'amra. Hoi roe ho'elu. Oz ve'atzon. Or charval's ro. Valen yamino's ro. Charval's ro. Valen yamino's ro. Yevosh tivosh. So the pasuk says in Zechariah that woe unto the bad shepherd who a sword is on his arm and on his eye, his right eye, his arm, which is using the sword in the wrong way, not to protect his people, should dry up. And his eye also. His eye means his vision, what he sees. So, Haragta es Rabbi Elazar Modoy, you killed Rabbi Elazar Modoy, Zeroan shall call Yisrael, the arm of the whole nation, the Ein Yaminam, and he was their whole foresight, Lefichach Zero Shaloso Ish Yevosh Tivosh, the Ein Yamino Keotecha. Okay? Yeah, so therefore he said that he should be killed. Biyad nuk the beta v'negar v'nerag ben kuzira ben kuzba. Yeah, biyad nuk the beta v'nerag ben kuzira. So what was his chait really? What was his chait? See, they didn't say he's a murderer. Because the circumstance was such that it looked like he was really justified. He couldn't protect himself. He was caught talking with somebody privately, and he couldn't justify because he was davening. So there's one medrash that says he told him he was davening, but I didn't believe him. He thought it was an excuse, because everybody seemed to say, corroborate that he was talking to him privately. And if he would have said what he said, something else, then he would have believed him.
But he said nothing. I didn't say anything that's suspicious. Like a total denial, like he was got frightened and he got caught. So he killed him. He was Marv Malchus. But the thing was like this. See, the complaint was, it's true he was Marv Malchus, but Shimi Ben Gera was also Marv Malchus. But David Malchus didn't kill him. Why? Because he said that politically it would be very bad at that time when David Malchus was getting back to Malucha and was coming back victorious and all Klal Yisrael was for him to go and kill Shimi Ben Gera. So he waited and before he died, he told Shlomo Malch to kill him. So the mistake was, it's true, sometimes guys chayav misa, but you have to use your mind. You have to think of the Ummah. And this man, Rabbi Lezer Modoi, he was the Zroan Shel Yisrael. So he should have thought into that. Yeah, okay, if he was in a conspiracy, so you take care of that. But you shouldn't have just killed him. That was a mistake. That's what he lost his chachma. So he lost his chachma. That's Achimesba, that's what Rambam means, Achimesba Honos. So that's what the Gemara says. Miyad Nilkida Beit Avinerik Ben Kaziva. What does it mean? Miyad, that second, not magic. It means that once they saw that they're fighting, there's infighting, they had a tremendous prestige, Bar Kochba. And the prestige was he was with the Chachmei Yisrael, and they're all keep shmir some mitzvahs, and they all deny Avodah Zarah, and they all keep the Torah, and they were all together. It was a very powerful aura that they projected. But the moment he killed his uncle, who the whole Klal Yisrael had their eyes on him, that he was their strength. So then, that's it. I mean, from then on, it all fell apart. That's what it means, miyad. It doesn't mean immediately. I mean, miyad means that instantaneously was brought down. From that minute on, you can forget about it. Because then the whole thing fell apart. Beta fell apart.
Beginning of the end.
That was beginning of the end. Aura's gone. That's the, that's what Chazal say. Osin to Inun Reshe Gabi Adrianus. So they brought his head to Hadrian. Amalun, he said to them, Man Kotl Hadain, who killed this person? Amalechat Kusiya Ano Katalte. So one Kusi said, I killed him. Amal Ano Katalte. Omar Le Chamili Pitume. Show me his body. Chamili Pitume Ashke Chachina Kruchalov. So they found that a snake was wrapped around him. That killed him. Because his appearance was so powerful that Hadrian said that Omar, he said, Ilule Eloka de Katle. If it wasn't that God killed him, man hava yochel katle. Who could have killed a powerful person like that? V'kar olav im lo kitzuram macharam v'adashem is giram. Im lo kitzuram macharam, that the pasuk that God sold him out, and he was masked them b'yad o'yev. For yehorgim bohem v'hol chinat sheshoka asus b'dam ad chotmo. And they killed for so long until the horse was in blood up to its nostrils. Voya dam megalgal sloyim, masui memso, acholoch adam biyam, arbas mil. In tomashi kreveliyam, vela rachok maniyam arbas mil. In tomashi kreveliyam, vela rachok maniyam arbas mil. Okay, so there was so much blood that it poured 40 mil into the yam. Amru Sholosh meos mochei tinokos matzu alevin achas, or matzu sholosh kupos shel kitzutzei tefum shel teisha teisha sign, v'yeshem teisha shel sholosh sholosh sign. Yeah. So what is it telling you? And then Chazal say that they were able to they used them for zevel for their Kramen for 8 years. So what does it show you? It shows you that that once they fell, it shows you that the guy has a fear of the Jew because he has a fear of the Jew's God. And Lo Kitzur Mochar Hashem is going to. Once he said, now the God already determined that they're not worthy of living. So then that unleashed the endless Ritzicha, floodgate of Ritzicha. You see. That's why for us, it's very important that the success of Eretz Yisrael is not just for people in Eretz Yisrael, it's for all Jews. Because when Eretz Yisrael was successful, the whole world looked at us differently. When Eretz Yisrael is not, they become brazen in the, and more anti-Semitic. And it opens up the floodgates of the hatred. In Lo Kitzur Mochar, Rav Hashem is Gira. That's what they want to say. Yep. Tani, Rav Shimon Golila, Machamesh Meos, Batei Sof, Mayu Bebeta. There were 500 Batei Sof in Bebeta. Vakotin Shebehenein, Pachas Mechamesh Meos, Tinokos. The smallest one didn't have less than 500 Tinokos. Vayu Omrim, and Bo, Asana Malenu, if the enemies come upon us, B'mechtovim Halolu, Anu Yotzim Aleim, Menachem Esaneim, with our pens writing utensils, like pencils, we'll go and we'll knock their eyes out. V'chivun shegormu avonos, v'yukorchem kolechot v'echot b'sifro, v'sorfenoson, the enemies took them and they wrapped them up in their own sefer, in the child's sefer, and they burned them. U'mekulam l'mishtayr el ani, and from all of them there was only left in one, me. V'kor al garme eini olo l'nafshi, mikol b'nosiri. So, what is that story? What's the idea of that story? The idea of the story was that it shows that Bar Kochba was very powerful, and he had an aura about him, and people believed him, were afraid of him. But it was bad that it was overdone. In other words, the belief in him was unrealistic already, because the Tinoka Shabbos Rabban said that they're so powerful they're going to destroy the enemy with their writing utensils. And that was ridiculous. So that's why it says Gormu Averos. Gormu Averos means that the Torah says, what did Hashem Baruch Hu say to Yeshua ben Nun? L'man taska b'chol asher tasa. And David Melech said to Shlomo Melech, that you should go in the Chukei HaTorah l'man tasku b'chol asher tasa, because the Torah gives you the Chachma. So once Gormu Avonos, once the Avonos are Gorim, then you go into crazy fantasy, and that resulted in the death of these unfortunate Tinokos, Shabbos Rabban.
I mean, if they wouldn't have attacked the soldiers, they would have been alive?
They may have had Rachmanos on. Yeah, they tortured them. They burned them and tortured them. They burned them in this farm. I mean, Hadrian was an unbelievable, turned into an unbelievable rush after this. Unbelievable. And if it wasn't for the fact that he died 3 years later, all of Torah could have been lost. I mean, it was made Xeris against Torah, against Mingling, against everything. That was when Rabbi Akiva was killed. But fortunately, he died in 3 years. Anyways, so... Yeah. The Gemara says, Kerem Gadol Hayaladri Ainus of Russia, Shmona Samil, Kemin Tveri Litzipuri, Vikifo Gede Me Haruge Beta. He made a wall out of them, out of the Haruge Beta. Mole Koma, Upisha Yudayim, the height of a man and his stretched out hands. Vlogozar Lam Sheikvaru. So he wanted to, it shows you that he wanted to, once he felt Kitzuram Mocharam Rav Hashem Esgiram, there was nothing that stopped him. Nothing that stopped him. And there was no end to the degradation and to the abuse and the to use them as fertilizer. There was absolutely no respect for them whatsoever. So until he died, and then the next melech came along. Amar Rav Huna, kishenitnu haru yebeta lekvura nikvara atov ametiv. Atov shalom nisrachu v'ametiv shenitnu lekvura. Okay. That's when they made the bracha of atov ametiv. So what does that mean? It sounds strange. I mean, it goes, nitnu lekvura, that's atov ametiv. But the answer is that as long as there's no kavod adam for Klal Yisrael, there can't be any mikdash. The Aruge Beitar, there was a nes shelo nisrachu, so that was min hashamayim, kavod adam, and then there were nitnu lekvura. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned the kavod adam to Klal Yisrael. So if kavod adam returns to Klal Yisrael, so then binyan Yerushalayim is possible. And that's why Yatava Meitav Zestabon Yerushalayim. So it showed the Ashgacha returned to Klal Yisrael in terms of giving Klal Yisrael a level of covered order. Okay, that's it. That's what's in the Benjamin Group. Next, the Binder's line. Okay, everybody.